Brothers, maybe we can start, huh?
We can. Amen.
Well, tonight I must say that I don't have a very clear, particular burden for this time. It does not mean I have no burden. I'm saying that as far as a specific word, not very clear. So I would like to suggest that we use this time actually for some Q&R. We have not done that so much, and sometimes that could lead into some good fellowship and some more practical kind of fellowship. So if you don't mind, how about tonight we take that format? Please do not ask some kind of esoteric, philosophical, theological questions. There's a place for that, but maybe not tonight. Ask questions concerning your service, concerning building up the church or helping your church to go on. Questions about your service and bearing responsibility, or even as it affects your personal life and so on. Of course, all of this is with the building up of the local churches in view, right? With the Lord's testimony in view. I should have probably let you know so you can prepare a little bit, but sometimes it's good to be not prepared. You just have something to ask, and that would be good. So would some brother just maybe take the lead with some question that you can have, you may have?
Brother Minoru, we've been burdened about the young working saints who do not seem to be in a very vital condition right now, yet they're increasingly a generation who should be rising up to pick up the burden of the church life and its propagation, including a willingness to migrate, for example, to maybe smaller localities which are very much in need of them, and where their function might come out more than where it is in a larger locality. Do you have any word for us on how to take care of the young working saints?
Well, that truly is one of the major challenge that we have been facing for some time now, and which we will continue to face. And that is how to perfect or raise up the next generation of saints, not just elders, right? Not just the leadership, but the brothers and sisters. And this is a common challenge, out there with organizations and business entities and all kinds of human endeavors. What they call succession is a big thing. Without raising up of a new generation to carry that enterprise or whatever, you have no people or no right people or no qualified people that enterprise would have no way to continue. So it's that simple. So in the church life, it is the same. And, part of our, training on the lessons on eldership is exactly that, as a kind of a starting point to raise up, hopefully, a new generation of leadership in this case, eldership. in the churches. And so I would say that when we talk about raising up or a new generation, we're not just talking about how to preserve people, you know, how to just keep people from leaving the recovery, from dropping out, and not let our numbers, membership decrease. We need to do that. We need to do that through shepherding, through our care of the saints and all of this. But when I think about raising up, when I think about, developing or cultivating a new generation, I consider that to be more of a passive work, just to preserve, just to not lose people. That is a necessary work, but it's more on the passive side. I think more about the aggressive side, and that is how do we develop? How do we mold, if you will, you know, like a potter making something out of clay, how to mold vessels, how to build up useful vessels to the Lord. How do we raise up proper serving ones? Not necessarily elders, just priestly serving ones, functioning, normal functioning members. And even, I would say even more than that, how to raise up a new generation that has the spirit or the fire of the recovery in them, so that they are not just members of the local churches and, you know, or just attendees of our meetings and so forth, but really those who are active, those who pursue the Lord, those who are aim to live an overcoming life, those who are pillars in the temple, those who are committed and engaged totally, those who are absolute for the Lord's recovery. Now, that's a mouthful, I know, and a tall order. But brothers, I would say if we fail to raise up another generation like this, then I fear for the future of recovery, wouldn't you? Where would the recovery be? Now, not that we are better than Brother Lee, we are better than the past, our older generation that are passing on or have passed on. No, I'm not saying that. But to some degree, the Lord was gracious and merciful to his recovery, and through various brothers and sisters and, you know, ones who are fit the description that I just gave, did something together to raise up some like this. And that's why the recovery is still here. And that's why the recovery is still going on. Maybe not as wonderful as should be, but anyway, it is not it's not dead in the waters. It's not, a kind of waning, dying situation. It's not going out of business, if I may use that term. The recovery is still thriving. The recovery is still going on. The recovery is still advancing to some degree. Because I'll tell you, not because of the numbers, sheer numbers of membership that we have, but it is because there is such a core, such a group of brothers and sisters in all the different localities. And so this is how I would address your question when I consider the next gen, raising up the next gen. So right away, this means that this is not a general type of work. This is not a kind of a big work like everybody. The Lord Jesus on the earth for 3+ years in his earthly ministry, sure, he fed 4,000, he fed 5,000, he fed thousands, and he healed and preached and to many. But after he ascended, there was only 120. You have to believe there's more than 120 over there that have been touched the Lord, that have received, you know, that have heard the Lord's teaching and so on. But only 120. That 120 is what is the Lord's next generation, wasn't it? That's it. These 120 were the ones who carry the Lord's torch, if you will, the Lord's commission. They were the reproduction of Christ. They were the multiplication of Jesus. They were that, and they were all the overcomers at that time, at least. And so they brought in the next era, and that is the era of the church. And so generation after generation, that took place. You have millions and billions, who knows, that were saved. But really, the burden bearers, the priests who have the ark on their shoulders was a few comparatively, was a small percentage. But these ones were the ones who carry the testimony onwards from age to age. Some are known, some are unknown. The Lord only knows. But this is what we need to produce, brothers. So, and this, of course, is a difficult job. I would say this is not an easy job. And, but what can we do? What can we do? So, now I think in NorCal, you have about, just round number, about, you know, less than 1,500 of these, or close to 1,500 of these millennial age saints. That's a pretty good number. But that's, if you may say so, that generation is our immediate, should be our immediate burden or target. And they are in need of being perfected. So last time when I talked to you, I made the distinction, at least in my vocabulary, between shepherding and perfecting. Remember that? So I'm here really talking about how to perfect the next generation. Not all 1,500 of these dear brothers and sisters will be perfected in this kind of a way. You say you have no faith, or you're too negative. Maybe. But even the Lord only had 120 out of thousands. So he didn't do too well either. But it turned out that 120 were the right ones, and something happened, right? So today, really two things. Number one, I'm speaking to some in this age bracket right here in this room. Already you're one of those. So I'm speaking to you that you should become one of those. You sitting here, you should be one of those vessels. You should be one of those perfected brothers. You should be part of Zion in Jerusalem. You should have the burden and even the commission to take the Lord's recovery on further and higher, if possible, and deeper, if possible. Who will be the overcomer, the song says. Who will make the choice? So I'm speaking to you, brothers, who are in that age bracket, 25 to 45, whatever, something like that, that you need to be such, and you need to be open to be perfected as such. You need to learn to be such, like some of us did. Maybe not, we're not the best patterns, but we tried. And we can at least testify that if we have such a heart, such a consecration, the Lord will have a way. Somehow, the Lord will have a way. The second thing I would say is that we need to, in the churches, pay attention to the perfecting of this group, for sure. And both brothers and sisters, not just brothers, brothers and sisters. And better yet, a whole couple, better yet. And so what does that call for? That calls for leading brothers, the senior saints, the experienced saints, you know, who would pick up this kind of a burden to help to perfect these ones. Now, not everyone can do this kind of perfecting work. Not everyone. But we can all help. You know, there may be a sister, let's say. She couldn't give any message. She couldn't, you know, say something to perfect someone. But you know what? A sister who is like this, who, as I describe, can surely pray. They can surely pray for this age bracket. And I mean in a specific way, not just a whole group of them. But Lord, this brother, Lord, that sister, I'm serious about this, to pick up the burden for the younger generation to pray for them. I know that, even though no, people don't tell me. Some did, but most probably didn't. There were many who prayed for me. Well, not just me, others as well, but I'm just, again, personally. I know that. I just know that. And they may not come and perfect me to my face, but I know that without their prayer, I wouldn't be what I am today. And so even in prayer, to ask the Lord for this one or for that one in this kind of a way is right, is necessary. A lot of useful ministers or servants of the Lord had godly families and who pray for them. Father, mother, grandfather, grandmother, to pray for them over a long period of time. And some even did their thing and become a prodigal. And eventually they came around. The Lord hears prayers. So even this is part of our, should be a part of our labor in perfecting the next generation. Then another thing is some of the older saints. You know, when I say old, I mean, you know, I don't mean just necessarily just physically old, but I'm saying really more mature saints and burdened saints and more experienced saints should pick up the burden to perfect a few brothers and or sisters under them. When I say under, I don't mean in an organizational way. I mean under being younger and according to the Lord's placement in their lives. They gotten near you, they crossed paths with you, they sought you out, they bring their problems to you, whatever the case may be. And I'll tell you, that's someone the Lord has just put into your hands to perfect. Not just a shepherd, solve some problems or, you know, give them some advice, but to with a view to perfect them, to reproduce yourself in them, to make them like you. And so that kind of work is not in large numbers, because this kind of work is more quality. This kind of work is more time consuming. This kind of work is more long term. So I would say these senior ones or, you know, more mature ones should, amongst other things they do in the church life, pick up a few, a handful, two or three, always under your particular care. Even when they have no problems, it's not about solving problems, it's about perfecting them, training them. He says, you know, in Titus, the older women should train the younger women how to love their husbands, how to love their children. That's the picture. An older woman who had been through all of this now would train a younger woman how to be. So we should train up young brothers how to be. Today I had a meeting with five younger brothers in this age bracket. Exactly in this age bracket, even from 30s to 40s, okay? And the occasion is that a door opened up for me to render them some perfecting. And because that door was opened up to me, I grabbed it. And now, it's not just a one session and solving some problem. No, it's not that. I pick up the burden, and they all said, Brother Minoru, we are just totally aggressively open to you to help us. You know, saints, they may be in the church life, the general church life, but they never got perfected. Do you know this? They didn't get perfected. They got the general learning, you know, they learned the general math, arithmetic, they geometry and so on. But they never got specifically perfected in this thing or that thing. Today, one of the main points is eventually how they should speak and minister the Lord's word. Now, you may say that's no big deal. That is a huge deal for brothers. Huge. You don't know when a brother, because he needs to minister the word in a proper kind of way, how much that will change his life if he's serious about things, how much he would have to come to the Lord, how much he has to deal with himself, how much he need to, you know, more than just studying the truth, how to minister life through the truth, this and that, this and that. And therein is the perfecting, the perfecting. So that would be the second thing I would say. So, but brothers, not all of us are good at this. Some of us are not good at this, okay? I'm going to say that. You go and try to perfect people, you kill them, all right? So I'm not going to say all of us are the right persons to perfect them, because we're touching people's lives, right? We cannot just do this carelessly. And because I've seen that, the wrong kind of quote-unquote perfecting destroy a person, damage the person as well. So this is delicate work. This is challenging work. This is not an easy work. Really, it means unless we are perfected, we really cannot perfect others, you see. So it's true. Some of us are lacking in perfecting ourselves. So today, when the need is there, we couldn't perfect others so well. That is the fact. So I will tell you, brothers, when we need to perfect others, that's when we are driven to the Lord to be perfected ourselves. When you don't need to do that, you don't need to be perfected. You're just okay. Just carry on. But because you need to perfect others, that drives you to the Lord to be dealt with, to be transformed, to be changed, your disposition, your, you know, so many things. So there are not many perfecters. Paul says, you have 1,000 teachers, but you don't have many fathers. I would say, you know, there are 1,000 saints, but there are not many that are perfecting ones. It's sad, and it's not right, but that is what it is. But still, pick up something, still learn something, all right? Sisters can perfect young sisters, absolutely, absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, these sisters training that I've been doing, that has a perfecting element in it. But most churches don't perfect the sisters like that. So the sisters are left to grow wild, you know? Sisters are left to grow wild. They don't know how to be a proper sister. And you can't blame them. They were never taught and instructed how to be one. So that need is very much among the sisters as well as brothers. I think sometimes if the Lord leads some elders or together with some of these senior or burden and mature saints, brothers and sisters, should have some fellowship together about their church, about this generation in their church, with a view to perfect them, to talk about their situation, to talk about their marriages, to talk about, not in a way of exchanging information and gossip, but entirely with the burden how to perfect some in our church, next generation. And to fellowship how we can do that, you know, together. And that is worthwhile. This is specific work, right? Another thing is, I always tell the elders, and that is one of the biggest perfecting is simply a model, a pattern. It's not just what you tell people what to do, what not to do, to perfect them. It's your testimony, your living, your service, your being, your person that influences them, unbeknownst to you, because they watch. They watch. And because they're close to you. They're close to you, all right? And they see you in close proximity, and that impacts them. And talking about close, this picking up burden to perfect someone, you have to really have a heart for them. You really would pick them up. It's deliberate. It's intentional. It's by burden. It's not sort of spontaneous. It's very deliberate. You know, a mother who raises up the children, it's very deliberate work. These are your kids. You are responsible to raise them up to be proper, responsible citizens. So that's your job. And day in, day out, you live to do that job. Very, very. So again, this is not just giving a message to the church, just telling the church what to do and giving some direction. We need to do that. But I'm talking about answering Don's question. There's a need here. How do we face it? And I'll tell you, just meetings won't do it. It has to be personal. It has to be personal. You pick up a personal burden for this or that saint. You get into their lives, not in a nosy way, not in a, you know, that kind of a way, but you're concerned, you're burdened, the way you pray, the way you help them, you know, through spiritual crises, through human crises that they go through. You are just with them, not only to shepherd, but use those opportunities to perfect them, to help them, according to your learning, right? Your own learning. So, and another thing, of course, is to give them or open the way for them to function, to serve, to be active in the church. Some just need help in that way, some direction in that way. Because the best way to perfect someone is on the job. It's one kind of work to stir up someone with a cohort, to have a hot heart, you know. That takes one kind of a gift. It's another thing to take someone with a hot heart and develop that hot heart into something useful. That's a different kind of thing, right? To help someone to consecrate their lives and give themselves, that's one thing. But to take someone who is consecrated and make them useful is what I'm talking about here. We need to do both, but I'm talking about the second part. So you guide them, you lead them, you correct them, you instruct them as they serve. And they learn as a result. They pick up things as a result from you and how what is the proper way, what is the proper spirit, what is the, there's so many details. And in time, they will become a perfected one to serve. So, you know, Don, your question took 40 minutes for me. Maybe that was already the burden in me that you brought out. I don't know.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Minoru, but I think there's time left for others who may have another question to ask you.
Sure, sure. I would say this is such an important thing that I'm very burdened for sure. You know, we started this young adult thing 10, 12 years ago, or more. You know, some of them, they were 30 at the time, now they're in their 40s. Some of them now are in their 50s, the blink of an eye.
Minoru, I have a kind of a practical question. This is from some fellowship that you had with certain brothers regarding continuing, you know, with Zoom meetings and face-to-face meetings when that happens, and, you know, and to keep the Zoom opportunity there for saints, and that the churches should upgrade their technology. So my question is, I was tasked to try to find out what the best technology to use, you know, in a meeting hall environment. And I'm just going to reach out to the brothers. I'm going to put my phone number and my email address on the chat. And if anyone has done this within their locality and have some ideas, please contact me. And I don't know, Minoru, you may want to expound a little bit on that burden that you have at this time.
No, I don't think I will spend much time on that. But fact is the situation is ever changing. Pandemic is in this country is because of the vaccine, because of this or that. So it is, we are coming to a time where things will be more and more in person for sure. It's just going to, it's happening already. And so, so what I was commenting the last time when I talk about this is we who are in the church life should be quite aware of this and have fellowship and planning to anticipate this. How it should be, I think every church would really vary according to the saints, according to the diverse situations. I am only offering my opinion that it seems to me in the long run, there will be some kind of a hybrid situation that this Zoom has its really, really very, very useful part to it, no doubt that it will continue to be useful. But I don't think Zoom will ever, ever, or it, should it ever replace the in-person touch. No way. Absolutely, no such thing. I mean, you know, to be rapture is not beam me up, you know. No, technology won't rapture you, you know. So technology is always just a tool. Don't make it anything more than that to aid us and help us in our blending, in our church life, in our shepherding, you know, so many aspects. But don't let that be the driver. That's putting the cart before the horse, all right? Use technology wisely and appropriately to reach our purpose, to work out the church life. So I would just say that much, yeah.
Brother Minoru, this is Chuck Steinbergs.
Yeah.
To go along with with that, except on another line, you fellowship with a number of us brothers, and I think we all were very touched, that as we turn this page from the last 15 months being on Zoom to coming back in person, that we would seize the chance that we would have a new start, and that the saints wouldn't just go, okay, let's just go back. We'll continue where we left off 15 months ago, and here we are. And you said, brothers, we really that would be so shameful. The Lord brought us through this, and we would just do that. I don't know if you've crystallized or thought more about some of the things we should be considering, how to fellowship with the saints so that we would hit the mark and we would take the best opportunity to have this restart with that in consideration.
Well, I can tell you one thing. I did say that, and I didn't mean that. I still mean it, to seize that opportunity to renew the church life, right? To go further in the church life and not just go back and repeat. Okay. As to how to do it, I really cannot tell you, but I will say this first, and that is just, it's not about using Zoom that will change that church life of yours, okay? It's not changing the way we meet merely that will bring in a new church life. All these outward changes could be helpful, really, I mean that. But you cannot rely on them as the source, as the impetus, as the active factor of the change, of any change in our midst. What have to change must be from the inside out. You can change the way you meet. You can Zoom all day long. You can do all kinds of things. But really nothing has changed because the human, the person has not changed. And collectively, the church life, the church people has not changed. Still operating under some old concepts, still kind of sort of the same old person with not much renewing in themselves. And you are asking for change by means of technology, by means of changing methods or ways of meeting. It may work a little bit, but it won't last long. I think the change we ultimately need, and we employ technology and other things to help us, is really something that has to happen from the inside out, from the inside out. These GTCA cities, they are a bit has an advantage because a whole bunch of saints just move there, like 30 saints just move to your city. Whether you like it or not, you will have to have the change, okay? So they were forced to, or they had the advantage of an environmental disruption that necessitated change, and so that was a help to them. You are in a situation where there's not this big influx of saints, there's not some big to do, and so there's not that kind of pressure or need to change. You just can go on. That's the toughest. That's the toughest. And by the way, I know their churches, they said, once we build a meeting hall, oh, the church will change and be different. Well, for a few months. I'll tell you, for a few months. And then you start to have an old church in a new meeting hall. Do you see? Really nothing has changed. So, brothers, I think, again, it is a matter of life. It is a matter of the spirit. Our need is to really, whatever way we take and whatever Zoom, whatever in person, what we need is a new spirit, a new heart, a new pursuit, a new desperation, a new something, okay, that will bring us to the Lord, that will bring us with each other, and to break through and kind of an old, what, lukewarmness or routine or whatever you want to call it, familiar ways of doing things, but yet not bearing fruit and not vital. That's the place, that's what need to change. And how do you effect such a change? You cannot use technology. The only way is we have to pray. We have to deal with the Lord personally and as a group of brothers and really, really lay hold of the Lord, you know, like Jacob did with that angel, right? To lay hold of him until he gives the blessing, until he changes your name. So I can tell you, nothing else outward that you do will do it. It will help. It will help. But you cannot rely on that. Brothers, I feel these days, if we really mean business, for a new start, whatever, post-pandemic, the urgent thing is for a group of brothers or a group of saints, all the way down to twos and threes, or twos or threes, to really come together and pray in desperation. Pray in desperation for the Lord to do a new thing in our church, in this town, in this city, in on this campus, whatever the case. Desperate, thorough, desperate, and the much and thorough prayer in desperation. I don't have another way, brothers, really. You know, I can give training, this, that, but in the end, all the training will work until there's the gasoline, until, you know what I mean, until there's that energy, that fire. And for that, I cannot give that to you. Even I need the fire in myself. So the only way is I go to the Lord. I'm desperate with the Lord and my co-elders or whoever, we're in the same group or in the same district, the district brother, whatever the case may be. There's a group of brothers and maybe even sisters. Look, the 120 include the women. How about that? That sets a pattern to really, really mean business with the Lord, to have a breakthrough. And see what the Lord would do in your place. I think the Lord will lead, the Lord will work within, the Lord will also work without, if we mean business like that. I talk about planning, I talk about all that. Those are all really necessary things. But don't do that without this, the prayer. What we need is some spiritual explosions in our personal lives and in our coordination, in our eldership, in our twos or threes. Some genuine spiritual revival. And that can only come from prayer. Of course, you know, the other thing is, you know, we've got to build up a church life, a new church life, that is people-centered, just caring for people. It's all about people. Perfecting, it's all about people, all right? The gospel, it's all about people. Bearing fruit, it's all about people. Shepherding, it's all about people. Even meeting is not about meeting. Meeting is about people. So we got to have a turn to be people-centered. We need to get, we must get out of an ingrown, introverted church life to be outward facing, to be, to face outwardly, meaning people, sinners, seekers. there are too many things, but anyway. So Chuck, that's all I can say. I have no, you know, I have no magic solutions.
Thank you very much.
But I will tell you, this works. This what I just said works. A group of brothers and sisters, small number, really, really single-minded for the Lord's increase, for the Lord's, need, would join themselves together to pray in one accord, harmoniously and desperately. At least that's a starting point. Then based on that, as we pray, the Lord will surely anoint and lead. And the next thing, at the right time, we should start to take action. That's where the planning comes from. Don't just, almost we need to revolt against the routine. Is that the word, revolt? That's a verb, right? Revolt against the routine, because it will swallow you up. It's not good or bad, it's just routine. It's just the old, easy, comfortable way of doing things. And that also always stifles progress, even in human endeavors. In the spiritual realm, it is the same. It takes energy to produce change. And our energy comes from only one source. That is the Spirit. And the way is by prayer. And also, not just prayer, I would say with prayer, by much fellowship. Bradley used the word much and thorough and applied to these two things, prayer, fellowship. Don't take the old way of just one brother doing everything and everything is in his pocket. Those days are over. You need a group of four living creatures of these elders or leading brothers or district brothers or whatever to just pray. And if you need to get on your knees, get on your knees. Call on the heavens and call on the earth to witness your burden and tell the Lord that degree, and see what the Lord would do. Much and thorough prayer, much and thorough fellowship with a specific group of saints. You will see. That I can promise you.
Brother Menorah, is there time to ask one more question?
Yeah.
I guess I just have a follow-up question to your fellowship earlier related to perfecting. You mentioned that not many of us are can perfect. That's not our function, or we're just not at that point. So how can we know that? I think several weeks ago you had mentioned about you were encouraging us to perfect the younger ones. But seems like if we do it improperly, if we're not the right person, we can cause quite a bit of damage. So that's my first question. And there is a second question. Now it's on the receiving end. I think just in years, I have observed the younger, even just among my peers, just over the years, I just feel like we have become very selective in what we want to receive the perfecting from. You know, if it's one of the coworkers, no problem, sure. You know, but most of the time we are not interacting. We're not in the same space as the coworkers. We just don't have that opportunity. We just have one another. We have some older brothers among us. When that perfecting word comes, I think a lot of times there is that dismissive kind of attitude. Well, I don't know, this brother really knows what he's talking about. You know, the age has changed. The situation is different now. This is anyway. So I'm just wondering if you could just render some fellowship, some help for all of us who are younger. What our attitude should be, so we can receive the perfecting that we need. Anyway, I just see that more and more, not just the younger ones, but even just me. I feel like I have that need.
Well, let me answer first question, and that is, look, Will, you're not young, okay? You know, you think you're young, you're not young. You are, you're approaching 50 or whatever it is. You're in your 40s at least, right? Okay, so Tony, you're not young. When I say that some of us are not, should not perfect, I mean that because I've seen some who underestimated the delicateness of touching someone's life, all right? You just are rough. You don't have that kind of sensitivity. Or in some cases, some just they perfect, but they perfect with their kind of disposition, you know, or with their kind of lack of true spiritual learning. So they misperfect it. I wouldn't question their heart, but they end up that they did not do a proper job. And in some cases, they hurt the person. So that has happened. So it's a bit of a warning there. But having said that, and if we are aware of that, and we just not go around and say, I'm a good perfecter like that, but really all having that humble attitude that I'm just learning, right? Even I'm still learning. I started to perfect when I was in my 20s, my late 20s. And I perfect some who are 5 to 10 years older, younger than me. At the time, I didn't know that I was perfecting. I just was burdened for them. So I spent time and helped them and correct this and that. I'm sure I made my share of mistakes. Did anyone die as a result? I couldn't recall right now, but... but my point is this, my point is I wasn't some qualified, mature person, but in that locality, I was looking up to me in that situation. So I have nothing more to look up there. So if I do not do this kind of work, then nothing will be done, you see. So, So that's where I learn to perfect others. So I would like to say, it's when I say mature, when I say older, when I say, I don't mean you need to be 60, 70, 80 years old. No. You could be in your 30s, but you have a heart and you have a way. You perfect someone typically younger than you, right? It's not. And then you learn. And then you learn. So it's relative. Yes, I talk about we need some senior older ones that can. Yes, I did say that. But what if we don't have these ones? Then what do? Then you have to do something. You have to do something. There's no way. But this kind of a heart and burden, I hope that we would acquire. I still say it's not for everyone to do. I will still say that, okay? But we should have that heart and that burden. Now, how do you perfect your peers? That's a little harder, frankly. That would be a little harder. Now I'm segueing into your second question, like they're not open to your perfecting. Who are you, right? This or that, like that. That is true. I know that, and especially the younger generation always think they know more, they know better. And there's an element of pride involved here. And there's not much you can do when someone is not open to be perfected, to be helped. You cannot force the issue. But I say again, you can pray. If you are really burdened for that person, you can pray. And the Lord may hear your prayer and start to work in his circumstances. All right? The Lord does that. And in those circumstances, suddenly, they think of you. They come to you. And we have seen this happen a lot as well. And surely I've experienced that. And that's the time that you're already burdened for that person, concerned for that person, and that would be the occasion for you to take advantage of that crack, that openness, right? And eventually, we all, even the proudest and the most capable person will recognize they have a need. They need someone to help them. All right, eventually. So you more or less have to wait for that opportunity. Meanwhile, search out those who are open. They may not be what you think A-plus quality, but it's not about A-plus quality. You know what I'm saying? It's about someone open. You know, the Lord, what did Jehovah say? He said, heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. But where is that man with a broken and contrite spirit? So God is not looking for A-plus gifts. He's looking for that contrite and broken person to visit. So there will always be some that are open somewhere. When you have a heart, we say this too much, and we'll eventually have a way. So if the heart is there, the Lord will give the way, and we learn in the process.
Thank you, Brother Minoru. Those are wise words of perfecting to us.
Amen. Okay. Are you Don, suggesting we end here now?
Is there anything more, brothers?
I have a quick question related to the receiving side. This has actually been in me for a while. How do we seek out the perfecting? I mean, I'm kind of in the latter. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of brothers in their, you know, 20s to 40s that have a sense they need some perfecting, especially when we're in a little bit of a smaller locality, you know, a newer locality with not a lot of, I mean, I'd say the brothers here that are about my age are all pretty mature, but there's just a sense in like my being that I need more perfecting personally. And I've just not been sure how to seek it out, you know, here.
Well, but you're not alone in this kind of a situation, especially we're starting new churches, younger brothers together. But that's the good thing. The good thing is that you're not just in a locality. You're in Northern California, and there are several thousand saints. And there are those who have more experience and could render some help, even perfecting to you. And so I've been talking about on the giving side, okay? So now you're asking on the receiving side. I would encourage brothers like yourself to be more, a little bit more aggressive, not indiscriminately, okay, but more aggressively seek out some that are older than you in other localities. I'm even saying not even in Northern California, in the Lord's recovery, to help, to give you some perfecting. There will not be an ideal situation environment. You have someone waiting just to perfect you, you know. But in this less than ideal environment, if we on the receiving end now have an openness, have the humility, right? Has the openness and the desire to learn, to receive help, to be corrected. That is halfway there. I have brothers come up to me and say, brother, perfect me, you know. And I'm very touched by that, but that's a conference meeting, and I don't even know this person, and I don't know where to begin. So what I could do is refer this person to someone in their region or in their locality, whatever, right, who would know this person and can render some more appropriate help. So I suggest you would be, consider that, be more aggressive that way. And sometimes you don't know, maybe you can just talk to some of the brothers and they may know someone that could be of help to you. It also depends on the nature, you know, of your burden. that's what I will say. Avail yourself to the riches in the Lord's recovery. And that's in the whole body. You know, I receive much help from brothers from Far East, from, you know, over here, over there, throughout the years. It's not just Brother Lee perfecting me. No. There are other brothers, even sisters, perfecting me. I mean that. And in combination, all of that really helped to mold me. But I have to be open and not reject the help.